The title of my sermon today is He Lives. He Lives. And I'm curious to see, by a show of hands, if you're able, how many of us would say that God invites believers to have faith? If you're online, you can put a yes or no in the chat. Most of us here are raising our hands. Yes, we believe this. So why then, and I include myself in this, why do we come to this pivotal story of Jesus being raised from the dead expecting facts? We want this story to be provable. If we're going to base our lives on something, we want to make sure it's true. If we're going to share the reason for our hope with someone, we want to make sure we get this right. In a world that's changing rapidly, how do we have security and confidence to know that Jesus lives? We do have some evidence. I'll name four types. One, as Anabaptist Christians, the whole story of God fits together in Jesus. All of Scripture points to Jesus' birth, death, life, resurrection, ascension, and beginning of a new kingdom for the whole world. Scripture gives us some evidence. Second, there are non-Christian writings from that time that give support, though of course scholars are not in agreement about them or their authenticity. Third, this movement of Christianity that centered on Jesus' life, death, and resurrection multiplied, even in the face of opposition and persecution. Fourth, we have eyewitnesses, including persons at the empty tomb, like the women and Peter. And just a side note here, it's interesting that Luke, the writer of this gospel, at the very beginning in chapter 1, he says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. How do we know something with certainty if we weren't there? Like if you have a friend that tells you they went to the grocery and their fridge is empty, how do we know they went? We can follow the breadcrumbs, but faith is required to know with certainty. Isn't that a mystery? Like we think it's the opposite. We think evidence is required to know. And for some of us, we don't really want faith. It's too fluffy, too hard to pin down, too easy to make up. I wonder if God wanted to get the word out so that a massive group of people would be Jesus' disciples in every generation, why didn't God delay Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection until YouTube was invented? Like, we could have had a Facebook live stream of his resurrection. And then everybody could be tagging all of our loved ones so that every generation could personally see, yes, it's true, Jesus lives, now I know how to live my life. I'm joking about the whole YouTube idea, but I'm serious about our behavior. Why do we seek evidence that Jesus is alive when God seeks our faith? Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we invite God to grow our faith today. Faith is required to please God. I began this week frustrated with this passage. This is not the resurrection story that I long for. I admit it. I long for the details so that we can really see what it was like when Jesus' body went from fully dead to fully alive. Can we imagine? This resurrection is not the same as Jesus raising the widow's son or Jairus' daughter or even Lazarus from the dead. Jesus passed through death. And as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. God was doing something new, something completely unexpected. And even though Jesus repeatedly told his disciples and others that he would die and be raised to life on the third day, people didn't understand. Luke says the women who were the first eyewitnesses had seen the tomb and how Jesus' body was laid in it. They knew exactly where to go. They didn't come to the tomb to have a conversation with Jesus. They brought spices for his body because they thought he was dead. What do we expect of Jesus? Catch what the two men, referred to as angels, say to the women. They said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Well, because we didn't expect Jesus to be alive. Is that true for us sometimes? If we expected Jesus to be alive, would we live differently? If we are taking notes, here's a question to write down and ponder. When I look for Jesus, where do I see new life? Is it possible that God still does things new and unexpected? I remember someone here bravely asking, probably 15 or so years ago, does God still do things in our world today? And that question may sting a little bit because there is so much suffering in the world that God allows and that Scripture acknowledges is a part of life. And what's more, whether or not God is active in the world gets problematic for us when people say God told them to do something that is hurtful or that goes against God's nature. So look for Jesus where there is life, even amid the suffering. Someone here who demonstrates this really well is Jim Copeland, Rebecca Hess's father. I encourage us to get to know Jim. I only know a few pieces of your story, and yet I know that you seek to have Jesus continually at the center of your life. Jim is a person who listens well and who speaks carefully. Last Sunday, we were talking, and as he labored to speak, he said, "Each day is a gift." And you've said before that each person is a gift. And I see Christ in you. Look for Jesus where there is life. Here's an opposite example that I did recently. Last week after the worship service, Hannah Lehman and I were talking. Hannah shared that she and her son, Amari, were getting ready to take his first trip flying. And Hannah had confidence that things would go smoothly, yet I, being a pastor and a mom, wanted to share a word of encouragement and hope. And instead of sharing a Bible verse about flying on wings like eagles, I think the words that came out of my mouth were something like, "Oh, you'll be fine." That's not even a word of encouragement. Like, that's closer to the power of positive thinking than it is to the power of Jesus. I believe in practicing gratitude. That's biblical. I believe in focusing our minds on what is true and excellent and praiseworthy. I want to rejoice always. Those are biblical practices with tremendous gifts for us and others when we do them. I believe in the power of prayer. Absolutely. And yet I've noticed that we get into trouble when we put our faith in the wrong place. If Jesus really did conquer death and sin and shame and evil, if we had some evidence of this and also understood that faith was necessary, if we were willing to take the smallest step toward God in faith, don't you think God would be right there in an instant, attentive? God loves us. God longs to be in relationship with us. And yet we miss it when God shows up because it is new and unexpected. We want all the answers, and God gives us a few little clues. We expected that Jesus' resurrection would be provable. We thought God would save us in a different way. So think about this here at Zion. God has been bringing this unexpected new life, even now, at Zion. It is all around us as evidence that Jesus is very much alive. I have seen and heard ways that our faith is maturing. Our Christian love for one another and for the world has been growing. We didn't create that. God did. God has grown our unity, our giving, our joy together. We didn't transform our hearts. God did that. Jesus is alive. Look for Jesus where there is life. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The power of positive thinking, when stretched too far, says life will be fine to aspects beyond our control. The power of Christ says Jesus loves us as we are right now by grace. The power of Christ says Jesus forgives us completely. Do you see the difference? The power of our striving says, I have to be better. I have to do better. I need more. The power of Jesus invites us to come to God. The burdens that we have been carrying are no longer ours to carry. The power of Jesus in us by grace uses our abiding to bear fruit with the unexpected and the overlooked. Our world circumstances have the opportunity to be completely new by Jesus' power. Faith is one of the ways that God equips us by grace to live in Jesus' power and not our own. As I was finishing writing this sermon, a phrase from a verse that I couldn't place kept coming to mind. The phrase is, "the land of the living." And so I looked up the verse and found out that the phrase comes from Psalm 27, which, surprisingly and not surprisingly, is a declaration of faith in God. As I studied, I discovered that throughout the psalm, the reason for the psalmist's faith is God's presence, which the psalmist acknowledges and continues to seek. Now, here's the specific verse. "I remain confident," notice that's faith, "I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Now, that could mean everlasting life, yet in this psalm, it especially means in this life. Faith helps us to look for Jesus where there is life. Today, as we loosen our grip on our expectations and burdens, may we come to God and witness by faith that Jesus is indeed alive. Thanks be to God. Amen.